You'll turn back to 2 Samuel chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9. This morning we come to think about the kindness of the king. The kindness of the king. I was thinking this week of having some sort of illustration at the beginning of my sermon to lead into the passage here in 2 Samuel 9. I was keen to try to find some sort of short story about someone showing undeserved kindness to another person. Perhaps even a true story that might bring a tear to our eye. A story that would grip our attention. One that would have you listening and ready for the sermon and to have your minds engaged. A story or an illustration just to set forth what does undeserved kindness look at. And then when I thought about it, I thought, how silly of me. Why should I go hunting for a story somewhere when what we have in 2 Samuel 9 is already here for us? We already have one such account. And we've already read it. I don't need to bring in another story, because what we have is a true account of David's kindness to an undeserving man. Mephibosheth, this disabled grandson of Saul, is plucked from obscurity. He's exalted. He's given a privileged position in the household of the king. Mephibosheth, who even calls himself a dead dog, is shown undeserved covenant kindness by the most mighty person in the whole land. And he ends up enjoying all of the blessings and provisions at the king's table. 2 Samuel 9 is a moving account. I think it's one of the most beautiful passages in the Old Testament. Because here we see covenant loving kindness of the king to an undeserved wretch. I say covenant loving kindness because that's the word that we have here in verse 1. In verse 1, where David says that I may show him kindness, that's the word chesed. Chesed, that Hebrew word. I hope after nearly 14 years you're getting familiar with that word. Chesed. The covenant loving kindness of God. It's a deep word. It's a rich word. That unbreaking love of God. That overflowing, abundant, promise-keeping kindness of God to sinners. David says, who can I show covenant kindness to? Chesed. That's the account we have before us. So let's get straight into our passage this morning. And the first thing, or the first aspect of this kindness that I want us to notice is the promise which grounds kindness. The promise which grounds kindness. Verse 1 and verse 3. David asks who he can show chesed to, kindness to. But look at verse 1. That I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake. And then in verse 3, that I may show the kindness of God to him. The covenant loving kindness that David wants to show is based on a promise that he has made and on a promise that he has received. Back in 1 Samuel chapter 20, and in verse 14, David entered into a covenant promise with Jonathan. David promised, and Jonathan bound himself. And the promise was that David would always show kindness to the household of Jonathan. That these two men entered into this covenant. And it's not just a promise of, yes, I promise to do that. This was a binding agreement. They were uniting themselves together. It's an unbreakable promise. And David is bound to this promise. I will show loving kindness to Jonathan's household. David has attached himself to this promise. He's gripped by this promise. He won't let go of the promise. He's entered into promise, covenant promise with Jonathan, that he will show abounding love to Jonathan's household. David also made a promise to Saul in 1 Samuel 24, verse 21, that he would look after Saul's household. And David isn't going to break that promise. But here we are told, for Jonathan's sake, because of the promises that I've made, I'm going to show overflowing, unbreaking, steadfast love. But it's been over 20 years. David, things have moved on in the kingdom. David could be thinking to himself, well, now I'm king, and I don't know if there's anyone left of Jonathan's household, and nobody knows that I've made this promise to Jonathan, so does it really matter? 20 years. It's a long time. David could maybe even forget that he made that promise. It was at a time of crisis in his life when Saul was pursuing him. Promise was made a long time ago. But David keeps this promise. David is determined to show covenant loving kindness because of the covenant made with Jonathan for Jonathan's sake. Now, this chapter follows on from chapter 7 earlier. Not only had David entered into a covenant with Jonathan, but David was also the recipient of a covenant in chapter 7. God entered into covenant with David. God has shown covenant love to David. And from the covenant love that David has experienced, David wants it to flow out from his household, and he's ready to show covenant love to others. Because David has received covenant love, he wants to express covenant love. We'll be thinking more about that tonight on our Zoom meeting. Tune in at 6:30. Log in for that at 6:30. But David here is keen to show covenant love based on covenant promises. Promises that he has entered into and promises that he has been a recipient of. And so he hears of a son of Jonathan, Mephibosheth. It's interesting that David's kingship is stressed here. When David is speaking to Ziba, and when David's mentioned in this chapter, we're told that he's king. Look at verses 2, 3, and 4. The king said to him, the king said, Ziba said to the king. The king said to him. Ziba said to the king. Do you get the picture? David is king. Look at verse 5. Then King David sent, and he sends out his messengers. It's being stressed that the king has entered into covenant. And the king is going to show covenant love, chesed. This is picked up again in verse 9 through to the end. The king called Ziba. And then we are told that Ziba said to the king in verse 11. And Mephibosheth is going to eat at the king's table in verse 13. This is the king. The king has entered into covenant. The king is going to show love and kindness. Now look at how we are told King David addresses Mephibosheth, verse 6 and 7. David said, Mephibosheth. David said to him, do not fear. The royal title has been dropped. Not because David is no longer king, but because this is the compassionate, loving king. He calls Mephibosheth by his name. He tells him not to fear. Here, it's as if David, the king, is stepping down. Stepping down to Mephibosheth's level. The king lowers himself. He acts compassionately, kindly, lovingly. Why? Because the king has entered into covenant, into promise. The king has promised to show chesed, steadfast, unbreakable, loving kindness. Remember, as we read through David, Scripture is preparing us for the king who is greater. For the king from David's family line, the king who's to come. Scripture is preparing us for Jesus. And Jesus Christ is the king who has come to show steadfast, unbreaking kindness and love. And that kindness and love that Jesus Christ stepped down to show is because of covenant. Because of promise. It's that covenant that God the Son entered into with God the Father and God the Spirit in eternity past. That promise before the foundation of the world. That eternal covenant that has no beginning. It's that promise that God would be a saving God to his people. And because of the covenant promise, because of that eternal covenant, Jesus Christ stepped down from the glories and the beauties of heaven onto this earth. And because of that covenant promise, Jesus Christ, the eternal Son, went to the cross. It's because of that eternal covenant promise that Jesus Christ suffered and died for our sin, that we might be forgiven. It's because of that eternal covenant promise that Jesus rose from the dead. And that in him we know there is life and eternal life. It's that covenant promise that brings this compassion and kindness, this unbreaking, steadfast love to us. Because of the covenant promise that bound Father, Son, and Spirit. And through that promise that binds us to Jesus Christ, that's why this kindness is shown. There's a love that binds itself. There's a love that's willing to fulfill the promise. And greater love has no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep. Jesus Christ is the one who shows this abounding, overflowing, forgiving love. This chesed. The king. Because of covenant promise. This love that ultimately brought Christ to die for our sin is the love through which, or the covenant, the promise through which binds us to his love, expresses and shows and displays his love and his kindness. It's grounded on promise. But then secondly, we have here the person who is gripped by kindness. The person who is gripped by kindness. We're told about Mephibosheth back in 2 Samuel chapter 4. And then here in 2 Samuel chapter 9, we're introduced to him again. And we're reminded about his disability. He was lame. Mephibosheth is defined by his weakness. In fact, his name, Mephibosheth, even means a shameful thing spoken, a shameful thing, one who is shamed. Back in chapter 4, we're told about Mephibosheth to show us the weakness of Saul's household. He was the young boy who was dropped by his maid as they were fleeing after Saul's death. And the point in chapter 4 is telling us that Mephibosheth is in no position to take the throne. Saul's household is so weak that look at his descendant. He's crippled. He's in no position to have any power or authority. Ever since the age of 5, this man has been unable to walk or to walk unaided in some way. His weakness is actually his distinguishing mark. He's defined by it. He is someone who is unable. That's even how this chapter ends. We're reminded of his weakness. He was lame in both his feet. Not only was he weak, but we're here also told that he was cut off or cast off. He lives in a place called Lodebar. Lodebar means no pasture, a place of isolation, a place far removed and far removed from the palace. And he's not even living in his own house. He has to live in the house of someone else. Here is a man who has lost all ability. He's lost his inheritance. He's removed and cut off. He's living in a place where nothing grows, isolated and far removed. Mephibosheth is no threat to the throne of David, being an heir of Saul, because he's incapable of doing anything about it. Here is a man who's had everything taken away from him. Look at Mephibosheth's own analysis of himself in verse 8. "Why should you show regard for a dead dog such as I?" This is a term of despising. This is a term of shame. The Gentiles, they were known as dogs. Dogs in those days weren't like our nice little pets that you maybe have at home. These were the strays, roaming the streets, filthy animals, and the Gentiles were dogs. Here Mephibosheth says, "I'm not even a dog. I'm a dead dog. I'm one with no hope. I have nothing. I'm cut off. I've no life, no future." And then he's summoned by David. And he comes trembling and fearful. He prostrates himself on the ground with his face to the floor. Comes in humility. Summoned by the king. This nobody who knows that being a descendant of Saul means that David should probably strike him down. Even though he's no threat to the throne, he's still a descendant. And he might have a claim to the throne. And we'll see that later on in 2 Samuel. David could and should strike him down. But this undeserving person, rather than being struck down, is gripped by covenant kindness. Rather than casting him out, David embraces him and brings him into covenant love. This is startling. What's even more remarkable is that Mephibosheth is just like us. Spiritually, we are cut off. We've no ability to save ourselves. We're living under the threat of the king because we belong to another kingdom. There's nothing in and of ourselves. There's nothing that we can do to deserve covenant kindness and love and compassion. The Bible tells us that we are heirs of death. We have lost the inheritance of life because of sin. We're in nowhere land like Mephibosheth was. But one day, the king came and summoned us. One day that knock came to the door. Your presence is requested before the king. We came to him with nothing that we could offer. We bowed down before him. knowing that we could be destroyed by him and should be destroyed by him. But then we heard that compassionate voice of the king. Just as David said, Mephibosheth, do not fear. Just as Jesus Christ said to a man on the road to Damascus, Saul, Saul. So Jesus Christ has spoken to you, if you're a believer. That is, instead of wrath and judgment and fear, you have received chesed, forgiving covenant kindness that's unbreaking. And just as Mephibosheth is gripped by covenant loving kindness, so too have we been. We have heard the words of grace and mercy and kindness from Jesus Christ through his word. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You have heard the covenant kindness of Christ. The king has compelled you to come. He summoned you, and you've come to him. And rather than judgment, you've experienced forgiveness of sin. Covenant kindness. Perhaps these are words that you heard many years ago. And yet today, they're just as fresh. Because you know how undeserving you were. Maybe you heard these words recently, but the freshness of them is still hard to take in because you just know how undeserving you were. Compassionate loving kindness that says to us, do not fear. And it's gripped you. It's held you. One undeserving, not worthy. Maybe you've heard the summons of the king, but you haven't yet come to the king. A minister is like the messenger here that David sends out. Messenger that brings a message from the king. The minister comes and in a sense he knocks on the door. We bring a message to say that the king summons you. The king is calling you. The message that we bring is one of good news. It's one of hope. There is a king who shows covenant, forgiving, loving kindness. What you must do is come. Someday we will all have to stand before the king. But if you haven't fallen on the knees before Jesus Christ, before that day, then on that day it will be too late. Because he is the king who judges. We saw that last week with chapter 8. He's the king who overrules and will wipe out his enemies. But he's the king who shows covenant kindness. And so the Bible says that today, this day, can be a day of salvation. If you come to this king today, then you too will get to know this covenant kindness. You too can be gripped by this covenant kindness. Don't put off coming to the king. You might say to yourself, but I'm so undeserving. I'm nothing. Why on earth would the king accept me? There's nothing I can bring. Well, that's the point. There is nothing you can bring, but he has done it all. He is the one who's lowered himself. He is the one who speaks words of peace, words of forgiveness. He is the one who shows unbreaking love. And so come and bow down before him. Here we have Mephibosheth, the person gripped by grace, gripped by covenant loving kindness. The promise is what grounds this kindness, this covenant. Then we have the person gripped is one undeserving. But then thirdly and lastly, the provisions given through kindness. The provisions given through kindness. Mephibosheth goes from having nothing, from being cut off, from being in danger of facing the judgment of the king, to being raised up, exalted, restored. All because of steadfast, loving, covenant kindness, chesed. Look at what happens to Mephibosheth. Look at verse 7. David restores land to him. I will restore to you all the land of Saul, your father, or his grandfather. Sometimes the Hebrew just uses the word father to mean father, grandfather, great-grandfather. David says, I'm going to restore to you the inheritance. You're going to have a share in the land. Mephibosheth receives everything that was taken from Saul, and it's restored to him. Verse 9, David stresses this again to Ziba the servant. All that belonged to Saul and to all his house I have given to your master's grandson. Mephibosheth now has a share in the inheritance, in the land. Verse 7 as well, he's admitted to eat at the table. This is privilege. Being able to eat at the king's table. To sit down and feast with the king. It was privilege for family. If you remember back to David when he was about to flee from King Saul. Saul was having a feast. And David was to be there as part of the household. It was a privilege and an honor. And David's seat was empty. And there was the plan between David and Jonathan. And Jonathan would find out if Saul was going to kill David or not, depending on his response to David's absence from the table. Being at the table was important. Being at the table was a privilege. It was a position of honor to be in the family. Mephibosheth gets to eat at the table that's prepared for the king. Mephibosheth gets to eat from the king's delicacies. He gets to enjoy eating with the most important person in all the land. He gets to fellowship with the king and his family. He gets to enjoy the good things that the king has prepared. It's beautiful. It's glorious. Come to the table. Come and eat, says King David to Mephibosheth, every day for the rest of his life. That's what he gets to enjoy. Being at the table of the king every day for the rest of his life. And then Mephibosheth is also given servants and provision in verse 10. Ziba and his sons now become servants of Mephibosheth. Ziba was probably like an estate manager, managing what was left of Saul's household. He was a servant of Saul. And now that Mephibosheth is raised up and restored, Ziba will work for Mephibosheth. I try to say something too many times, you just get tongue twisted. Ziba and Mephibosheth will appear later in 2 Samuel. But what we see here is provision being made for Mephibosheth. He is given everything that he needs. He has no want. It's as if David has become a shepherd to him, leading him, guiding him, preparing a table for him. It's as if Mephibosheth can say, David is my king, my shepherd. I'll not want. What a blessing for Mephibosheth. We might think, if only somebody would do something like this for me. If only a millionaire would bring me into their home. A member of the royal family turned to me and say, why don't you come for dinner? And not just today, I mean always come for dinner. Always sit at my table. Think, oh wow, great, wonderful. What joy. We'd be going around telling people, guess where I'm going for dinner. Not just today, but tomorrow and the next day and forever. We have something far, far greater. We have something of far more worth than any of these. What we have is we have restoration through Jesus Christ, through this covenant kindness. And if you're in Christ, you have been lifted up and you've been given an inheritance, a share of the eternal inheritance, the new heavens and the new earth. You have a dwelling place that is for you, that's kept and permanent and cannot be taken away. And we have access to the table. We can come and feast with the King every day through his word, reading it, meditating on it, being provided for. When we come to the Lord's table, when we have the Lord's Supper, coming to the table and enjoying that fellowship, feeding on his word again. And it's a picture of that eternal feasting that we will be doing. Heaven is described for us in Scripture, the new heavens and the new earth, like a feast, a marriage feast, a big party. And we will be feasting with the King forever. Every day of our lives with him, enjoying all the blessings and privileges that come from being at his table. And we're provided for. Every one of our needs. He gives us everything that we need. There's nothing that he withholds from us that we need. He only gives us what is good. And that includes the hard providences, the difficult providences in our lives this side of eternity. They're for our good. They remind us of what's to come, what's greater and even better. Friends, this kindness, this covenant kindness, it gives us eternal provisions and blessings in Jesus Christ. More than we could ever imagine. And if you're a Christian, the King, in his loving kindness, has come. And he's knocked on the door of your heart. And he said, come in. Come to me. Let me show you kindness and love and grace. Come and eat at my table. Come and be part of my family. Come and share in the full inheritance. Do you see the kind of love that the Father has showed to us in Jesus Christ, that we should be called sons of God? That was our call to worship. And so we are, because the King has shown us steadfast, unbreaking, covenant love. Amen.